Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called A Blessed Mess. So, are you using all the gifts that God gave you? And how could we be fumbling up the opportunities that are being presented to us? Let's get into this and a lot more. All right, guys, thank you for joining me. Here we go. A little disclaimer today. My dog Stitch is until he realizes what I'm doing, giving some space, but my neighbor's dog Xena is going a little bananas in the background, so all apologies if you hear a little bit of dog kicking in. There she is. She just wants to be heard this morning. So anyway, guys, here right into this topic. This came out of a question of one of my group members, and it's a really interesting topic that I've touched on before, but definitely deserves its own space. So, what is it about when we feel like people keep telling us like we're playing small or we should be doing more? So this is what happened. He had somebody come up to him and say that they felt like he was sort of squandering away his life. Like since his wife had passed, he had been sort of just letting life pass him by, not partaking in things. He should really be out there and, sort of like sharing his gifts with the world. And his question to me was like, first off, he doesn't feel like he has any. He's really in a depressed state of not feeling like, he has anything to offer. And what could I really be, and this is another comment I hear a lot, by the way. I'm interrupting myself at this point. But I hear this a lot, that God took the wrong person. You know, he feels like his wife was the one with all the gifts and blessings, and God just chose wrong. He should have taken her. He should have taken me, not her. And I like to look at it like this. If you're still here, it could be that very well he could be right, that maybe he still had a lot more growth to do on this planet, and it wasn't his time yet because he still had a lot of evolving to do as a person. That's possible. Because I do think most of the great people I've known in my life are the first ones to have passed, where it makes you wonder if, like, once you've kind of achieved a level of, healing or having given back or whatever it is, that, it's kind of like, okay, you've done your thing. You've left your mark on the world. But that's a little side note. But back to his gifts. He's in a state where he's having a hard time recognizing, why am I still here? What do I have to offer? And what's interesting is every single person has something to offer, I love the river analogy. Sorry, I'm stumbling on my words because I can just hear this dog going bananas. So if you picture the river, every single pebble inside that river has a place. Sometimes the ones, especially the ones at the bottom, they just don't see how they're leaving any impact. Maybe the ones that are a little more near the surface, where the water has to sort of part and move around it, you can see. And there are people in this world, it's very clear and evident to see how they're impacting change. But the ones at the bottom, they're so valuable, because how would that one at the top ever rise to the point of being at the surface level of the water if not for all of those layers of rocks and pebbles at the base, right? That's how it's able to be up there where it can move and part the waters, because we all play our intricate role in this. That's the way I look at it anyway. It's a little bit of a weird analogy, but like I picture it as there has to be some building blocks. There has to be something at the base that's rising the other people up. We all play a role, even if it's like one conversation, one thing you say one day, one time where your car made it so that other car was three cars back instead of two cars back. Every tiny little thing has a role. It impacts everything around it in so many ways you could just never imagine. So to feel like I don't even think I have anything to offer to this world is such a loss, because just getting out there and participating in life is in some way impacting every single other human on this earth. And so when you think of it like that, your role is powerful. Sitting in your home, they're not wrong. Your friends aren't wrong to say you're squandering and missing out. I just think that from the darkest places, it's hard to see how whether we're out of our bed or at the grocery store is going to have any impact on anybody else. So to my point of, are you using all the gifts that God gave you? I think every single one of us is born with gifts. You know, and I think some of us have the gift of, you know, being able to say things in a powerful way that people can change their lives by listening to. I think there's people who just have a gift of music and, you know, touching our souls and making us truly just reflect on things. And think about all the people you could impact with something like that, or the written word and writing novels that just change people. And but this is not for the few. We all have a gift. It doesn't have to be a gift that big. It could just be, I'm really talented at, you know, I mean, what could it be? Anything, knitting. It doesn't even matter. There's something that God gave you as a gift. And maybe you started knitting, you know, I don't know why I used that example because I'm just glancing around my room and saw a sweater, but I don't know if that was the intention. It could be that you're very skilled with your hands and you're able to create with your hands. And maybe you took it to the place of knitting, but maybe your hands could sculpt amazing things that could impact children. Maybe you could, you know, have some other impact. So sometimes reanalyzing what your gift is. So if I believe for us to all be so multi-talented and blessed with God-given gifts, why aren't we all out there creating masterpieces? Well, I think what happens in a lot of our lives is that we get stifled along the way by jealous people, by parents who maybe think we're shooting for a dream that, you know, isn't lucrative. you're not going to make money doing that talent. You know, you got to find a real job, which to a lot of people, a real job, it's not even about the potential to make money, because let's say somebody could become let's say they love the sport of basketball and they could become an NBA player. Of course they could make enormous amounts of money. It's like they're already placing their limiting beliefs on the child of, but yeah, that's just for the few and you're unlikely to make it. So pick something else, have a backup plan, you know, all that stuff. And so what happens is instead of trying to become the movie star, the athlete, the, you know, person creating beautiful works of art, we take all of those God-given talents that could really change this world. We shelf them. We end up at a desk at some, you know, job that doesn't satisfy our soul, doesn't help other people. And then we start saying things like this guy that we don't have anything to offer. We're not talented. We're not gifted like everybody else. But really, they've just forgotten, you know, you've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what you loved. Think back to your childhood. What did you love? Did you love animals? Maybe you were meant to work with animals. You know, were you passionate about writing? I was definitely a writer when I was a kid. Just thinking back, we would go for car rides and my mom will attest to this. I'd get bored and say, give me a topic. And she would say the most obscure things. Like we would be driving by like a water tower and she'd be like, water tower. And I would just fire out a poem about water towers. And then my dad would be like, no, football players. And I would come out with some like funny poem about football players or like whatever it was. I just wanted to grab on to like an opportunity to just let what gave me fun and excitement sort of pour out. It was just how I passed the time. And then I guess I looked around me and I remember thinking, like, especially poems, because I loved writing poems when I was little. And I realized nobody really makes money off writing poems. And it was just that simple. It was like this sudden moment. Like, why are we trying to fit into a norm of what other people have already done in this world? Why aren't we trying to think, hey, how could I create a job in which I could make money doing this passion or whatever? I just canceled it right out because it doesn't already exist in my tiny little, you know, small town world. So I just put it away. You know, and actually, ironically, when I was, my brother was probably, oh, I don't know, I should probably ask my mom this. I feel like he was like maybe 8, but he must have been older than that because I was older than that. So maybe he was in high school. Yeah, maybe he was in high school. I don't know. And we're only like 19 months apart. So not even that. But anyway, I remember him needing physical therapy. And I remember my mom telling me, this is a great profession. They make a lot of money. And ironically, I ended up going to school for physical therapy. So was it in the background of my you know, I don't know. Did I file that away in my subconscious and think, hey, here's a great career that people will respect and I can make a lot of money at? I've always been a healer. I've always been someone who loves healing other people. But maybe I should have combined the gifts that God gave me. Maybe I should have combined my gift of writing and healing, written a book about healing. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, look back at all of the gifts that you have, all of the things that light you up, that make you get excited. Like when you're actually looking at this, it's the stuff, like when you know you're aligned and you're doing something that God intended for you to do on this earth, I feel like you light up. You're excited to pick it up and work on it that day. And when it's really not for you, but you're trying to make it happen, whether it's for financial reasons or for other purposes of just getting something done, and it just feels like work, then I feel like it's usually not aligned. So I've had to learn to let go of some of those things, which is hard because a lot of those things are things that feel financially stable or feel like the smart choice to make. But I'll tell you this, every time I've followed the quote aligned path or the path that lights me up and makes me feel really excited, those have been the most financially rewarding and emotionally rewarding things I've ever done. And it's because you're excited to get up in the morning and pour yourself into it. You know, your energy is right around that thing and your talent is aligned. And it is, I feel like, a God-given gift that you're now harnessing. Of course, you're going to be supported and guided to the best possible outcome, right? So I feel like staying the course on things that maybe feel like the right decision, but out of the wrong, for the wrong reasons, maybe, I guess. Maybe those aren't the things that are where you should pour as much time and money and effort into. But boy, I feel like there's so many people who are like, yeah, that's just a hobby. Yeah, that's something I used to do. Oh yeah, I love doing that too. I haven't done that in years. Like, what on earth? Why? You know, that's just unfortunate for everybody. You know, obviously I feel for the person who's not doing the thing that makes them happy, but like the rest of us are kind of missing out too. You know, those pebbles that never get to rise to the surface and make the water part never get to be as fully impactful in this world because you didn't lay down your foundation there to help them out and to play your role in it. You stayed inside your house, inside those walls, and you never allowed for your part in this big puzzle of life, right? You never contributed your part. So I'm not saying your family's right for saying that you're, you know, basically pissing away your life, but I mean, on some level, could you be doing more, allowing yourself to have the possibility and potential to have great things happen? Yeah, I feel like, you know, you are sort of, you're limiting yourself and the potential and possibilities because, you know, I mean, nothing fantastic ever happens from our couch. I always say, every time I say it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the wrong thing to say. It's true though. You know, inside your home, sitting there, not participating, not being around other people or, you know, oh boy, anyway, it's Monday or no, it's not even Monday morning. It's Tuesday. This is going to be a week if I already think it's still Monday. Anyway. So how could we be fumbling up the opportunities that are being presented to us was sort of the second question I posed. I mean, I think I just kind of spelled it out, but if you're given all these gifts and then you're not sharing them, then you're never going to get to see the potential huge outcome that could happen. Like for my kids here, like loving basketball, back to that analogy of, you know, if they just sort of get squashed on their dreams, and which as a parent, I'm gonna beat myself up for this because I kind of have said it to them, like, you know, I love this and let's go for it, but you know, there's always injury. I try to like play it off, not like you might not make it, but like, what if you get hurt? Let's have another plan. But you know, it is, there's truth in a sense of like being intellectually grounded in not just taking these huge, I mean, if you have a person who can't even catch a ball and they want to be in the NBA, but here's why, because that wasn't their God-given gift. They're not aligned with the thing that they are like super talented with. They're pushing for a dream that's not meant to be theirs. It's meant to be someone else's. Does that make sense? So just because you love the sport, it doesn't mean that it's something that, like, there has to be passion for the thing and an element of talent or skill or ability. But I do think even those of us who aren't, if you really keep feeling this pull back to the thing, maybe there's some other way in which you're supposed to be in that world. You know, I have a friend right now who's looking at a potential job where she would be like doing scheduling type stuff for NBA and like, I don't know. Anyway, my point is just maybe you're going to be the person keeping statistics or running the clock. I don't know. Maybe you're supposed to be a referee. Maybe you're supposed to be a coach of high school basketball players. Maybe you're supposed to be a recruit. There's other ways in which you can still harness that passion for the thing, even if you didn't get the talent part of it, you know? So I still think you need to follow what lights you up and makes you excited on the inside. You know what I mean? Like, what can you get lost in for hours? I think that's a calling, whatever it is, where you just kind of like lose track with everything going on around you. You stop worrying about your whatever was on your mind. Or even if you're worried about it still, it gives you that sense of peace for the moment. You know, I get excited when I have certain projects I'm working on in a day. And there are other days where I just dread getting out of the bed because I know what I have to go handle that day. And so taxes are not a job that were intended for me. Let's just say that. Like, I know this week I'm supposed to be working on my taxes for my business and I hate it. So if that's the energy that you get from it, you are not meant to be an accountant. That's just a fact. That's what I mean. There is somebody out there who loves to crunch numbers. There's somebody out there who loves the sort of, I don't know, ins and outs of tax season. And so it's for them. It is not for you if it makes you feel repulsed, but hey, it's a great paycheck. Or, you know, it's this thing that, you know, everyone will respect that I can do and I can help them with. And I don't know if that's the right reasons to try to earn others' respect or to try to have a prestigious title like doctor or anything like that. I feel like all those things are for the wrong reasons. And it really has to be coming from a heart space of that desire to impact or to create. You know, those are the things that I feel like really, they'll make you feel better. It's not just about like, oh, we should all be following some aligned paths to this greater purpose. And it's not like that. It's just for you to feel like every day you're excited for your feet to hit the floor and to jump into your daily quote work. It won't feel like work. It will just feel like expansion and your spirit can grow. And like, that's big. That is big. Because then at the end of your days, you know, when you're old and gray, you're going to look back and be like, whoa, I lived a life full of passion. I loved what I did. I had so many great experiences. I feel like I gave to this world, you know, all those things. But sometimes, like, if you're feeling like you're wasting away a little bit at a job that doesn't hit on any of those things, at the end, you kind of feel like, did I miss the opportunity? And listen, not everybody can be an author of a novel, but that means like if you have a gift for writing, but the only job you can get is at Walmart, find out if within Walmart they have a job where you can use your skills. Maybe you can be in the customer service end of things where, you know, you're managing writing, you know, responses to complaints or I don't know, but there's almost always a way to find an avenue to sort of express that talent. Where you don't have to just give up on it and be like, no, all I can do is, you know, ring out people at their cash register at Walmart. And I have to do that because it's all that somebody would hire me for or because of these past mistakes and like, whatever. I've heard all the stories. There's always another way. I love talking about the third door because it's so true. You know, stop feeling like this door's closed for me and that one's closed for me. We'll find the other one. Keep looking and stop giving up on it and just saying, well, that's for other people. They get to have it. They were blessed. They were born with some talent. I don't believe that. You were too. Every single one of us had something that lit us up and made us feel really excited. It's not like you were born into this world and everything just felt the same mundane, same monotonous, you know? No, I guarantee there was something that used to get you excited, even if it was petting the neighbor's dog. Like, there was something that made you feel good. So figure that out. And that's a definite starting point, you know? But yeah, I mean, what I will say is anybody who's going to sort of judge you, though, for your decisions to stay inside, to maybe not put yourself out there, it's tough when they haven't walked a mile in your shoes. And I don't think they probably have a full understanding of just how hard some of those first steps really are. So give yourself grace and patience, and that's okay too. There's a time for everything in this world, right? And there is a time to just sort of go inwards, be alone, you know, do the work internally and not necessarily expose yourself out there in the big wide world. So if that's what you need right now and you're giving it to yourself, then, you know, sometimes you just got to quiet the noise of the outside voices a little bit, and I get it. You know, no fault to you. Anyway, quick break, guys. I'll be right back. I've got more on the topic. For everybody who's been paying attention to my hypnosis sessions and when they're going to be released, I just want to let you know this is likely the last week that you'll be able to notify me that you want those bonuses added on if you should make a purchase on any of those hypnosis sessions, because once they go live, that deal goes away. So just to let everybody know, if you want to drop me an email, and you can find my email in the description of today's podcast. And just inside that email, let me know that you found out about the hypnosis sessions through my podcast. I will be sure to add you to my list of people that are going to get a bonus if you should purchase one. All right, guys, here we go. Back to the show. So sometimes I think we underestimate our, inspiration, I guess, over other people around us. And so even if you're feeling like there's no reason for me to put myself out there right now, I really just need to heal and be alone, we forget that your role out there in the world likely has other dominoes that need to be hit. You know, there's people waiting for you to do whatever the thing is you need to do to impact their world in a way that's going to push them forward, you know? So that's the hard part, is if you're having a hard time seeing it, you might think it doesn't exist, but if you could just have that 50,000 foot overview and see it from a higher perspective, you'd be able to see that impact that your one little domino falling over is going to, you know, then create, and what is going to come from that. But we don't get to have that view. Only one person does, you know? And I don't think God's telling us any of the things right now. We got to just have faith. That's blind, right? Faith is blind. You don't get to know what your impact is. And you likely won't in this time here on earth. Sometimes people are blessed enough to get to see that, how their impact on someone else then trickle down onto others. That's a beautiful gift. I got to take my bracelet off. Sorry. Jingling around again. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, some people are blessed that way and they get to know that. But for most of us, I think our impact is not something that we can see in the sort of 3D world of, like, you know, oh, wow, I just inspired this, you know? It doesn't get to work that way. But sometimes it's that one little positive comment you say to someone in a day. It could be a look you give somebody. Like I said, it could be just where your car happens to be at a certain time and place. You're never gonna know. But it does really stink to watch all of the other things that could have unfolded, you know, not get to happen because you're not there, you know? Maybe you were going to give somebody the confidence to go out and do something great, and then that never got to happen. You know, that you were their role model and you didn't even know it. There's a lot. There's so many ways, and I'm not even going to get into all the ways in which you could impact others, because that just seems obvious to me that anything could be possible. But it's our desire to, like, be able to see it, know it, touch it, or why bother even doing it? That's crazy. Because somebody out there is not going to have as blessed of a life because you weren't willing to sort of brave it a bit, you know? I don't know. No pressure. Definitely not trying to pressure you. It does stink to sort of be able to step back and go, oh, wow, look at this person with, like, they don't even see it in themselves. They're amazing and they don't even see it. You know, they're stuck here over here in this self-doubt or, like, you know, self-esteem deprivation, and they're not recognizing just how gifted or amazing they are, or just how good their energy is for others. They don't see their beauty, they don't see their talent, they don't see all of the things that the rest of us see. And now they're not even, like, participating in life. It is hard. I empathize with your family if they're seeing the beauty in you and feeling like they just want to drag you back into life. And I think if you can come from an empathetic point of view and try to see it through their lens, you can maybe see the beauty in yourself a little better, you know, because if you saw a family member who was doing the same thing that you are, and you know what they're capable of, it's hard. It's hard to sit back and go, ah, just step into those shoes. You can do it. And if you fall, goodness sakes, people, if you fall, dust yourself off and get back out there. Try again, you know, get up. It's just falling and staying down is just really unfortunate because there's a lot of bumps in the road. I've hit a lot of bumps and holes. I have. It's just, that's life. I don't think I think about them very long because again, I always believe that whatever you put energy into, you know, it's the things that you focus on that grow. I don't need a big pothole that I'm stuck in. It's bad enough I just tripped over the darn hole and fell on the ground. Like, I get up as quickly as I can. There's a country song about, like, something with the devil. Like, if you, basically, if you go, wait, hold on, it's coming to me. If you're going through hell, keep on moving. Basically, get out of there before the devil even knows you're there. That's the... I don't know why the lyrics are like I'm caught up in the lyrics, but it's to that point. Like, basically, you might be able to, like, skirt through there, like, just kind of cruise on through and get the heck out before you're noticed. You know, the devil might not even have the time and, you know, to put into really keeping you down if you can hurry up and get the heck out of Dodge. But if you stay down there too long, you become part of the road. It's like, don't let people start walking over you and tripping over you now because you're just, you know, another obstacle in the way. So, I don't know. I'm all over the analogies today, but I think you can get the visual picture of it. You know, it of course you're going to fall. We all fall. We all falter. Don't be embarrassed by that. When you fall, it's an opportunity to, like, climb out fast, show your strength, and then figure out a new way because now you have information. You know, every time I fall, I look at it as information because now I know what doesn't work. And that's sometimes more valuable than the stuff that does. You know, I know what to avoid. I know that I've already tried it. I don't need to pour any more energy into it. You know, let's go a different way. So there's a lot of valuable information to be gained from that too. And it's not something to be embarrassed about because anybody who's going to say, they've never fallen on the path to greatness is a liar. We all have. It's just the way it happens. You know, that's how growth happens, is we fall sometimes. So yeah, don't let that hold you back, and keep on keeping on is basically the way to go about it. But you have to be in search of doing the right things. I think sometimes when we fall a lot, it's because we're headed towards the wrong thing too. You know, because that's when God intervenes. Now, this is the world according to Heather, so please, like, there's no scientific basis for what I'm saying right now, but I believe if we are making a charge towards something and it's not aligned for us, I feel like God trips us up. Maybe because this is what I ask God to do to me. That sounds crazy. Every day, it's a prayer I say every day, that I truly want the most aligned path for me and everybody else. Like, I'm not so selfish as to be like, I want the best and brightest for myself and screw all the people on the way. No, it's like all the people in my world, like, I want to be on a path, the highest possible, you know, timeline, path, whatever, that is most aligned and basically benefits the most people, like where none of us are getting stomped on to get what we want, where everybody can be the happiest, everybody can have it the best way, you know what I mean? So basically, you know, I told you guys about how I've given up my free will this year. Well, I tell God every day, like, take this free will. And if I, and what that means, because, like, I mean, anybody could say, oh, I gave my free will to God, not my fault. He would have, you know, he made the decision, not me. That's baloney. You're still making your own choices. So what I've told God to do for me is if I start heading towards the wrong thing and it's not my aligned path, it's not for the greatest good of all the people involved, trip me up, make it not work. Like, somehow make that not come to fruition. If it means I lose my house, if it means I, like, lose all my money, if it means that I have to start over from the beginning, so be it. I trust you. You know, that's release. That's faith. I'm totally giving it up. And I'm saying, if I start charging forward in the wrong path, just make me lose it all. Mess me up. turn me, because I trust that God's path for me is going to lead me to better anyway. So I don't care if like this thing that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just about to grab that $1 million or whatever. And then he makes me lose everything and I'm bankrupt. Okay. I can have faith and knowing that the higher power that I choose to believe in will never strip me completely, like take everything that I've worked hard for and earned or whatever, and then just leave me like naked on the ground, homeless. Like, no. The only way in which he's going to do that is if he sees a better path for everyone over there. And I just kept charging over here. And he's like, heck no, you're going the wrong way. So I trust that. I believe that if that's what happens and like, okay, so I'm moving to Hawaii, but then all of a sudden all these things fall apart and I can't. Well, then Hawaii wasn't for me. God knows. He's now turning me on the path to like Taiwan. I don't know. Like, he knows. It's not for me to know. It's just for me to keep following. And okay, that didn't work. I'm going to go this way. And then once again, if he's like, ugh, this girl's hard. She's a slow learner. She's like, sure, he might push me off the cliff again. Okay. You know, but the point is, if you just let him shove you off the cliff and then you lay in the pothole, you're not continuing to push forward to get to that right aligned path. So you got to stop letting these things that happen to you take you down and keep you trapped. Like, when that happens, that's when you come back up, rise up again, try again. It eventually will get you there. It will, especially if you're following and praying. And I mean, I just believe that. I believe I'm going to keep trying, keep working towards the thing, whatever the thing is that I feel called to do. And then, like I said, giving it up and over to God so that if I've chosen wrong, if I'm not seeing the bigger picture, like maybe, yeah, some way I am supposed to use my writing, but I'm not supposed to be working at the local newspaper. I'm supposed to be co-authoring some, you know, next big novel. Or maybe that, you know, maybe I'm not dreaming big enough, or maybe I'm dreaming a little too big. And maybe there's this other thing over here, which might seem really small, but, you know, my impact on that little situation is actually going to have a much far-reaching effect that I can't see, you know? That's faith. And it's not easy. Faith is not easy because it's blind. And we like control. We like to see. We like to know what's happening next. And that's not faith. So when we have to maintain all of those elements of control and completely steer it to, you know, keeping it in our own hands and really navigating every detail, it's when we're trying to control the how it happens. That's when you know that you have not released it and you haven't surrendered it to God and you're not really turning over the reins. Because when you're at that point of it needs to happen in this way, you've taken away the ability for higher power to see a better way for you. You know? So if you want to, I'm just going to stick with the $1 million thing. You want to make $1 million this year, but it has to be, I'm going to win it playing this lottery. I don't know. Or gambling. I'm playing Texas Hold'em. I don't know. Whatever you're doing to try to make your money. And you're like, no, it has to be this way. You spend every hour of every day trying to make it happen that day, scratching scratch tickets or buying lotto tickets or playing Texas Hold'em. And God is like, no, you can have that $1 million, but you have to do it by going out and, you know, writing a book and selling it, by making that screenplay, by writing that big hit, by whatever it is. So if you're so blocked off and you're not even willing to see that there could be other ways, then how are you ever going to get it? And then you're going to feel like somehow things always work out for other people, but not me, and somehow victimize yourself. Well, that's not okay, because that's not true at all. I think maybe you just haven't given yourself all of the opportunities. You know, maybe you haven't opened yourself up to other ways to allow it to happen and released a little bit more. If that makes sense, I don't know. I'm just rambling today. So, yeah, I want to make a quick note, by the way, before I forget. It's not the end of the show yet, but I do want to just remind everybody that's been waiting on this that Lenny is coming on. I just am a little behind the bat with that because of the hypnosis session releases this week, but we will be recording and getting his podcast up for those of you who wanted to hear about how he was kicking cancer's butt. I'm very excited about that episode. So yes, that will be coming in the future, but okay, back to this topic real quick. So I had a friend when I was in high school who used to always be, how do I put it? It was like everybody else, but you're so pretty, but you're so talented, and I'm not, and I don't have that ability. I can't. You know, it's sad because she was a beautiful person. I don't mean physically, but like just, you know, wonderful. And I probably would still be friends with her today if it wasn't for that sort of attitude that she could never shed. And so it made me feel in her presence like if I had a success, it was going to make her feel less. If I looked really beautiful for, you know, a prom we were going to, it was going to make her feel ugly. It's a really, really sad thing. And it's a, I hated, like, it never let me feel like I could fully, like, be all of me without feeling like I was making her feel like less of a person. And if you have people in your energetic space that make you want to sort of play small for them, I just wanted to put in a little disclaimer of letting that go, because that's not about you. That really is some self-work that they need to do. And some people will grow and rise and sort of move out of that. And other people might just be stuck there for the rest of their lives. And sometimes that just means you're starting to outgrow the people around you, you know? And that's a hard one. You know, I always tried to like, I have that sort of come with me attitude, you know, not look at me, but come with me. And I tried, but inevitably we would always cycle back. And when you see cycles, sometimes you do have to just break them. It's time for something different. You know, when you start to enter into that, hey, we've been here before, then after a while, you got to hop off the merry-go-round. And that's hard. Those cycles can be really hard to break, especially when you have love and care for the people on that merry-go-round with you, you know. But if anybody's making you sort of dim your light a little bit, it's very important to look at where is that coming from. And if I go back to the scenario of people who might have like picked on you when you were younger, or parents who didn't fully embrace your gifts, you know, subconsciously, yes, hypnosis can help with a lot of that, to move past that so you can really see just how amazing you can be and what you can contribute. But those voices, logically speaking, you should be able to hear that and realize and recognize where it's coming from. That it is not coming from any type of basis or grounded like truth. It's just not. It's coming from all of their inner fears, all of their inner stories that now they're passing on to you. You know, even our parents, as a mom, I mean, we do our best to protect our kids. And sometimes it's like trying to remember what's happened to us and these life lessons we've learned, pass them along to your kids so they don't have to learn the same tough lesson the hard way. But what happens is we're just taking a story of something that might have happened once in our own history, and now we're putting it on our kids like, this is the way, this is what happens. And that's not fair to them. You know, it stifles their ability to just blossom, because they'll have these fears and these stories and these subconscious beliefs that are, you know, rooted in them, that they don't need that. They need to see that they can do anything. They could be anything, you know? That's how I'm trying to raise my kids, is to like let them believe anything is possible. Gosh, when my kids were young, I used to think they were going to jump off a roof someday because they thought they could fly. I was literally trying to just let them believe anything was possible, to the point where I was like, boy, am I doing the right job here of grounding them in what will keep them safe as well? There's always that inner voice of like, am I doing enough? Am I, you know, walking that line of still providing, you know, advice and safety and, you know, and also letting them fly, quite literally. Like, oh boy, that's hard. I mean, being a parent's the hardest thing I've ever done, for that reason and a million more. But yeah, if your parents never really told you you're amazing and you should go try it, I'm going to tell you from my point of view, I think it's not too late. I think it's not too late to quiet those inner voices, or to just, you know, strap on the parachute and jump. But no, I'm not telling anybody to jump off any cliffs. Disclaimer. Yeah, a lot of the times there are stories in our heads. There are things that pop up that stop us, that give us stage fright, that make us nervous to just completely harness what's inside us. So you'll find that the more of those things that you tap into and allow yourself, you know, the space to grow with and to, you know, anything that feels good, guys, those are the things that you should be holding on tight to. And the things that don't feel great, release it. It's like weights, you know, you're trying to swim and you've got all of these big blocks attached to your ankles, you know, cut those free, cut the blocks free. And then also start reaching for the things, you know, don't just sit there and bob in the water, like start reaching for the branch or the hand or whatever it is and swim towards what feels good. And I think that no matter what, that's going to be forward progress, right? Because now you've gotten rid of the dead weight, the stuff that didn't feel good, and you're moving towards things that feel better. So that just seems logical, right? That feels like both logic and heart, and I love the balance. You know, it's a beautiful balance of finding a way to feel really good inside and make a sound decision towards something that can only improve your life. So I think I'll wrap it up there for today, guys. Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for showing up every week. So much love, guys. I'll see you again next week.